Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So if you all heard the recording, the 1 minute episode I put out, we missed an episode because just scheduling, traveling, all that fun stuff. But we're back. So we have 2 weeks to catch you up on. So Jimmy, what have you been up to?
Wow. Okay. What have I been up to? I feel like a lot of work. I gave my dog a bath. That's kind of some things I've been up to. Let's see. What else? I always feel like I know this question's coming every week, and it always catches me off guard. I'm getting ready to go to a concert. I'm going to go see 17 coming up here in Austin. So I'm excited. I'm nervous because I've never done a solo concert since high school. So I'm kind of nervous about going on my own, but we'll see. Hopefully, I mean, I'll survive. It's not like something crazy gonna happen, but I'm nervous, but I'm kind of trying to decide, do I want to put a cool outfit together or just kind of wear the clothes I have? It's, yeah, there's that. And then Halloween's coming up, so gotta figure out what my costume's gonna be.
I imagine, like, from all the cons and stuff, you just have a box or, like, a dedicated room of nothing but costumes.
I have more wigs than I thought I would in life. You know, if you ask 12-year-old Jimmy, how many wigs do you think you'll own? I would have said less than two. And I think I have, like, seven or eight.
I think I own one. I don't remember where it is, but I think I own one.
Oh, is it the one from when we went to Comic-Con? Or do you own another wig? Don't you have the Dazzler wig?
I think that one got lost in a move.
Oh, okay.
I do think I still have the Comic-Con wig. I got a wig that I bought in Japan when I went with friends back in 2019. Though there's a good chance I threw that one away too. And then if you can call it a wig, the Powerline wig I won last year, I still have that.
Okay,
as well.
Yeah. Is that all foam or is that hair?
It's foam. Like, if I remember correctly, there was no like hair element to it. It was just all foam.
But yeah, I got to think of a costume for Halloween. I do. So I work with children, and the whole staff's kind of been like, okay, we're all going to dress up for Halloween this year. So I'm trying to figure out what to be. There's a whole bunch of costumes in there. I also want something that's not too hot, since I live in, it's not hot in Texas right now, but still, you know, I'm still at work, so I don't want to be too uncomfortable.
Fair. That's a fair point.
So I don't know. Sorry, I gotta tell a story now. But did I tell you the time that I was working and my whole work agreed on a group costume? And it was during Frozen time, and we agreed that we were all going to be Frozen characters. So I picked Olaf, of course. So I came to work as Olaf, and no one dressed as Frozen characters. Everyone switched up their costumes.
Was there, like, an email?
No, there was no, all the communication was verbal. Like, everyone just kind of gathered and was like, this is the plan. It was like 2 weeks before Halloween because I had to get the costume. So, and Olaf is not a like comfortable working costume.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be very bulky. It wouldn't be like Kristoff or whatever, where it's pretty much just like an outfit that you could wear.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's like my Halloween horror story. Wait, are you going to dress up for Halloween?
I never do, so I don't anticipate doing it this year, but who knows?
Who does know? But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to. What have you been up to?
So I was traveling. I went to Denver to catch up with some friends. It's one of those things where I felt bad because been friends with since like high school, but I haven't seen him since 2019. I think I went skiing in Vail back in, I want to say 2022, and it just never lined up for us to run into each other. Vail's maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Denver. I can't remember exactly what. So I was like, I was feeling bad because I'm like, man, you know, we've been chatting, but I haven't seen you in person in years. So I finally went out and saw him. We caught a concert, caught up with other friends as well, and also just did nothing, which was perfect. That was exactly what I wanted to do, nothing. I'm sometimes a Hank Hill, if you will. Sometimes I just overwork myself and don't take time off. So I just realized, oh, snap, I have not taken a vacation this year yet. And it's almost the end of the year. So I went ahead and did that. And here we are.
Those are the best vacations, the nothing vacations.
Yeah. I was telling my friends, like, yeah, I'm at this age where I'm completely comfortable doing absolutely nothing on a vacation. Like, just not having to use my brain or anything. I remember my mentor a few years ago, I was talking to him, and he was taking vacation. He's like, yeah, I'm about to take a month vacation. And I was like, oh, what are you going to do? He's like, honestly, the first week, I'm just going to sit and stare at a wall. I mean, I don't think he actually did that, but the emphasis there was that, you know, it'll be nice to just not have anything to do.
Oh, man, I envy that. I guess I could do that. My vacations are all planned around conventions and stuff, so I jam-pack my time. Everyone's like, oh, you're going to enjoy your vacation, and I'm like, I'm still waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm getting in lines, and I'm rushing from here to there and whatnot, but I can't see myself doing anything else, though.
Yeah, so, you know, it was funny because my friend would be like, oh, do you want to get lunch tomorrow? And I'd say, yeah, I have literally nothing planned, so that's fine. But yeah, it was nice. Other than that, not too much. It's just I saw a concert in Boulder, which is about an hour outside of Denver, an hour-ish, depending on how you drive, I guess. Ate a lot of food. Denver, I don't know if we have any Colorado listeners, but I'm sure somebody's going to correct me on this, but I feel like Denver is one of those cities that's like not known for a specific type of food. Somebody was like, oh, you're going to New York City. And you would say, oh, what's a quintessential New York food? Oh, go to Katz's Deli, or go get yourself a big slice of pizza or something. Or if somebody were going to San Antonio, I'd say, get some good Tex-Mex, go to Mi Tierra or something like that, or La Fonda or something. Austin barbecue, you know, Micklethwaite, Franklin's. Even here in San Francisco, you might tell somebody, go get some sourdough. It's like Denver, I wouldn't know what you would... Maybe go get a Denver omelet? I don't know.
Is that a real thing? A Denver omelet?
Yeah, that's an actual thing. You can even get that at Kirby Lane.
Well, okay, I've always seen it like IHOP, so I didn't know if it was like an IHOP thing. Like, it's just so Denver omelet's a famous omelet?
Yeah, it's an actual thing.
Oh, wow. I thought it was just a... made up. I mean, I knew that it existed, but I just didn't know that it was like something people had outside of IHOP.
Yeah, I know Kirby Lane has it on their menu. I've had it many times there, and I'm sure other places do too. But yeah, it's like Denver, I don't feel like it's that kind of place where you go and you say, oh, you got to try this, you got to try that. But there's still some pretty good food out there.
Okay, what makes this omelet Denver? It's diced ham, onions, green bell peppers, and melted cheese.
So what I am reading here, if it's to
Is it different?
Be understood. Well, from what I'm reading here, it was originally called what people believe is that it was originally a Denver sandwich, which was created, according to this, some historians suggest that Chinese laborers working on the Transcontinental Railroad created a portable egg dish to eat. Or some suggest it was also created by cattle drivers and pioneers or something, but it was originally like a sandwich that had eggs and stuff, but then it eventually, you know, the bread went away and now you have an omelet.
Hmm. So none of those foods are like Denver-y ingredients.
No.
It's just, it was eaten in Denver.
Yeah, I think it was more maybe it was created in Denver or in the Denver area in the 19th century and then the name just kind of stuck.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, I didn't know Denver was known for its diced ham.
Well, you know, one day a pig was running through a cheese grater in Denver, and that's where they came up with
the idea. Oh, my God. That sounds horrible. That sounds so painful. The pig running through. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, I got to get that image out of your head.
Nope.
It's that King of the Hill episode.
I was going to say, it did kind of remind me of the Pygmalion episode when I said it.
Oh my gosh, that would be a good group costume.
Oh, just going as like the Pygmalion family that Chip Larson was trying to make.
Yeah, and one of you has to be the pig. Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's like three people, right? It was like, well, yeah, there was like the pig, then there was the Swedish girl or whatever, and then there was the guy with the accordion.
Yeah, because it was like Luann, and then the guy just shows up at the end of the episode, kind of. He's like, I'm here too. And then Chip's like, I'm the pig. Gosh, what an insane episode.
It definitely feels like they decided, oh, we're just going to get experimental today when they created that one. Because it's just, it doesn't feel like it belongs in the King of the Hill episode.
Yeah, they murder someone. I mean, it's self-defense. It's self-defense, of course. But like, no one ever talked. I mean, yeah, a lot of things don't carry over. But it's just like, wow, we put someone in a meat grinder.
Yeah.
What a weird episode. Yeah, what a weird episode.
Yeah. I mean, the episode we're about to review, and we'll talk a little bit about it soon, but in my mind, this episode was a bit weird for King of the Hill. Not Pygmalion weird, not Mrs. Wakefield weird, but definitely, like, kind of weird in my mind.
Yeah, I have opinions on it, so I guess we could just jump to it.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. So, sadly, this is the last episode of season 14. They only did 10 episodes. My true hope is that when they do season 15, they give us a full 20 episodes of that. You know, let's not do this whole thing where we have to wait 2 years for another 10 episodes or something crazy like that. But anyway, so this is episode 10 of season 14 called A Sounder Investment. It is, well, like I said, it is kind of weird. I have thoughts on it because, you know, as somebody, I grew up in Texas, born and raised, spent most of my life there. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area now, and there was a lot of stuff that made me think about the tech bros here and the founder bros. And so it's just like made me kind of it hit too close to home to where it was kind of cringe. But, you know, let's not waste any more time. Let's just jump right into it. So the episode starts in the Hill House, and they're having a meeting of Hill Family Inc., or at least that's what Peggy wants to call it. And Hank doesn't seem too thrilled about it because really it's just a meeting where they're going to go over their finances and how their investments have done and whatnot. But Peggy's treating it like it's a big business. And Hank's like, okay, well, we can call it Hill Family Inc., but can we just skip the minutes or whatever? So that's kind of funny because it's just the two of them, but they're taking meeting minutes. So they look at their investment portfolio and they see that they have dividends and they're up 5%. And Hank is thrilled by that because it's kind of, hey, it's money making money. And he thanks President Reagan for creating this system that allows them to do that. But Peggy is not thrilled because 5% is less than what an index fund would do. And for those who are not in the know, index funds are supposed to be one of the safest investments you can possibly do. Unless the economy collapses over the life of the investment, it will always go up. And so usually you're seeing 7% or more on average for a return. So 5% is less. But Hank is fine with it because he's kind of thinking in the tortoise and the hare mindset, like, you know, slow and steady wins the race. And, you know, you don't have to make it, just the fact that they're making any money is a good thing. And, you know, you don't have to be super risky. And Hank liked the Aramco retirement fund, and he likes it because you could just pick what you like and put it in there, and he always wanted to pick the safe bets, which is absolutely a Hank thing. You know, he's like, hey, moderate growth is for millennials and people who wear tattoos to work, which is a funny thing. But Peggy wants to invest more aggressively to make more money because, you know, the thing with index funds or how Hank is doing it is it's low risk, low reward. So you're never going to get rich off of it, but you're not going to lose all your money on it either. Peggy wants to be a little bit more risky and make some more money. And so, you know, Peggy is just, there's just a disagreement between the two of them on how money should be spent. In the alley, the guys are doing kind of their yep, yep, yep thing. And Hank, I guess, has a little bit of a roughery up, I guess, which I didn't really pick up on, but the guys did. And they're like, whoa, what's going on with you, Hank? And Hank's like, oh, sorry that I had a short fuse with you all. But Yeah, he was a little upset because they were talking about money and all that stuff. And, you know, they're just a disagreement between Peggy and Hank on how to handle the money. John Redcorn shows up and he said he's created a business called John's Red Corn. So it's essentially selling red corn in jars that he has grown on his land. And Dale makes a little joke where he's like, oh, Nancy would love this. Have you given it to her yet? And then John Redcorn's like, yes, I've given it to her many times over the years. Then Hank kind of tries to change the subject because it's making him uncomfortable. John Redcorn mentions that he's not able to scale the way he wants to because he has all these feral hogs showing up that are eating all of his corn. And so that it's eating his product. He can't sell anything. And so the guys are like, oh, you know, we can help you with that. And Dale and Bill and Boomhauer obviously want to go hog hunting. But Hank's like, oh, we can just capture them. We don't have to kill them. We can set up traps. And everybody kind of makes fun of Hank because he's known as a bad shot. So they think, oh, he just wants to capture them because he can't shoot them. I like that this is just a recurring joke that has existed since season one, that Hank is just a bad shot. But yeah, everybody is getting ready to go, and we see at John Redcorn's land, Hank bought this trap that it says he can catch 50 hogs a day. All of a sudden, Dale and the guys show up, and they're rowdy, and they're planning on going shooting. So a lot's happening. One, the Hills are talking about their investments, which makes sense. They're retired, and they're in their 50s. They're no older than 55. I don't think they ever say exactly what their age is, but given that we know that Con and Min are, or at least Min is around 51 based on, you know, the math that is mentioned in the season, Hank and Peggy are probably around that age, but they're already retired. And it's likely because one, Aramco paid them a lot of money, but then two, they were probably very thrifty and very smart with their money.
Oh, definitely smart with their money. Remember that episode where Hank teaches Bobby about budgeting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're definitely, I'm not going to say like penny-pinching people, but they're very wise spenders, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're very thrifty. I honestly would call them penny-pinchers. Like, maybe not, I guess I get your point to where they're not like misers or anything like that. Yeah. But I do think Hank and Peggy are very smart with their money. Hank, for sure. Hank doesn't want to spend money on anything that's not necessary.
Again, to their credit, though, Hank and all the guys in the alley are very handy. And think of all the money you saved on repairs, car repairs, house repairs.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that just you'd be spending a lot on. And especially cash. What else? Like, they don't take too many trips. They're not very luxurious. Like, they're not heavy spenders. But they never are cheap people. You know, it's not like they have moments where like, oh, we can't buy that, or oh, that's too of a luxury item. It's like if they really need something, they'll get it. And if it's a want, then there will be like a discussion about it or whatnot. But it's also funny thinking, how many times do you think they've had these Hill Inc. meetings?
Oh, probably every month.
Just now Hank is like, can we not do the minutes? Can we skip the minutes this time?
Yeah, it's just funny that Peggy's, I mean, it could just be boredom because they're retired and it's not like they have a lot to do, but it's just funny that Peggy is trying to turn this basic finance meeting, which probably doesn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes, into this big, almost like corporate boardroom type thing in their living room.
I don't know if it's boredom. It feels like a Peggy thing to want to have this structure. Like, she's like, this is how meetings go. We must discuss the minutes of last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, then John Redcorn's red corn. Is that like a jam or is it just like, because they were eating it. They were eating it just out of the jar, I believe.
It looked like it was just like corn kernels in a jar. That's what it looked like to me.
Huh. Everyone seemed to love it though. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would try it. I definitely, there are so many products. We need like a King of the Hill pop-up shop with all the different foods and things that they've mentioned in the in the show?
Well, let's see. We got Comic-Con next year. We got D23, you know, Disney, Fox, Hulu, whoever it is out there who's listening to us, make it happen. King of the Hill pop-up shop.
Oh, I definitely spend some money there.
I just would too. Even if I'm not there, I would like tell you, hey, Jimmy, grab me some stuff and I'll reimburse you.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh. I don't know. I'm so upset they didn't like take over a restaurant this year for Comic-Con. But that's not here or there. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Hank being a bad shot. Did that come up during the emu episode?
I honestly don't remember, but it might have. I know it's happened. So the first episode where it's mentioned is in season one, but it's come up quite a few times afterwards.
So I'm trying to think of like other episodes where they had to hunt animals or remove pests. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the emu episode. I do like how Hank says that it's a money back guarantee on the hog trap if it doesn't mm-hmm. catch any hogs.
Well, that is a Hank thing. You know, he reads the warranty information. Uh-huh. There's no way he doesn't. On to the B story. And one thing that I like, and we'll talk about it when we do our recap episode later, is almost every episode this season, I wouldn't even say that it has an A plot or a B plot. Like, in a way it does, but the way I always see it is that's, in fact, let's say A and B, you have an Arlen plot and a Bobby plot for every episode. So there's what's going on in Arlen, whether it's with Hank or whether it's with Hank and Peggy or whatever. And then there is the what's going on in Dallas with Bobby. I think there's only a few episodes where they're both in Arlen or something to that effect, but that's almost all the episodes this season. So anyway, the B plot with Bobby is that the symphony, Bobby and Connie are having their first real date, as adults anyway. And so Bobby wants to take Connie to the symphony, and Connie is way impressed about how nice it is. And, you know, she's wearing her best outfit and everything. And Bobby tries to make a music pun about how he can handle things or he can take it back. Connie yawns, and Bobby, of course, thinks, oh no, I'm boring her, or my jokes are stupid or something. But now she's yawning from pulling all-nighters, studying. Bobby's like, oh yeah, I was up until 2 a.m. peeling garlic. I had to take two showers to get the smell off of me. Bobby's like, oh, this violin concerto is supposed to be great, according to Beethoven's subreddit. Beethoven the musician, not the Beethoven movie subreddit. That one is pretty nasty, which, yes, that is Reddit for you. Connie mentions that she hasn't played the violin since middle school, which shocks Bobby because Bobby didn't know this. Bobby, I guess, just always assumed that she was still into violin. And quite frankly, I would have thought that too, since there was so much emphasis on her playing the violin. She mentions that this is one of the longest violin concertos known to man, and Bobby's like, oh, I didn't know that either. So it's nice seeing them get together and like having a real date.
I am sad that Connie's not playing the violin anymore. It just felt like, even though it was kind of something she didn't enjoy, but I think that was just one aspect of it, the one where like her parents forced her to play kind of classical music, but then she found a joy in like a freedom of it playing the bluegrass when she's doing bluegrass. So it is kind of sad that she doesn't just pick it up and play every now and then, or that could have been a fun side thing where Connie's like, every now and then I go to a club and I kind of just play with this group.
Yeah. Hey, maybe they'll do it in season 15.
Maybe.
So back at the Hill House, Hank is grilling, and it looks like they're grilling whatever they caught, or whatever they killed, rather. And so there's a bunch of pork ribs and everything put together, and the guys are kind of giving Hank the business about how he didn't shoot anything. And, you know, like, it's a running joke through the episode that he can't shoot. Then Boomhauer decides, hey, why don't I start a business where I hunt wild hogs? And the guys think that's a great idea. Hey, we can do that. We did this pretty successfully. We could probably do it for other, you know, farmers or landowners and whatnot. And I like how Hank's like, well, that sounds like a better idea than your Uber for dogs. And then Dale's like, well, if a dog can lead a man, a dog can drive. And then Hank's like, wait, You meant that the dogs were supposed to drive in your idea? Which, honestly, that is absolutely a Dale thing to say. Hank advises that, you know, his whole tortoise in the hare, slow is steady wins the race mindset. It's just like, you know, build the business slow and steady and let it grow. And Hank accidentally mentions that he has extra money from the Hill Family Inc. And of course, the guys are like, oh, well, can you invest it in us? And Hank just kind of defers and says, oh, I'll bring it up to Peggy at the next Hill Family Inc. meeting. We go to the living room and Boomhauer already has like an easel up and stuff. And he's pitching to Peggy. And Hank is upset because he's like, what, Boomhauer, you were supposed to wait for me to talk to Peggy about this. And Peggy's like, well, he just got to you faster. Boomhauer is pitching his business idea of and growth in statistics and stuff like that for his hog hunting business. And Hank is like, you know, the investing isn't like raising a child. You can't make it up as you go. And Boomhauer's actually, you know, listening to it off. Yeah, we only get bits and pieces of it, but listening to it, the business plan sounded pretty good. But Hank was like, you know what? I want the bank to decide. Like, let's talk to our banker. They know more about the stuff than either you or me. So they go to the bank and Hank's talking to the banker and he's like, yeah, so tell me, is this a bad idea or a horrible idea? And the banker actually thinks it's a great idea and a sound investment. And Hank's like, well, if you think it's such a great idea, why don't you invest it? And the banker's like, yeah. But then the banker agrees to invest in it and go in as a partner. Hank just is not interested because he thinks it's not going to be succeed. So he's like, well, you know, all teams need a guy in the stands to watch and cheer you on. So it's funny that they're, you know, Boomhauer starting this business. And honestly, it sounds like a good business. You know, Arlen, Texas itself has a wild boar problem. Like, I know that was a problem when I was living in Austin, actually closer to North Austin, like where that toll road is. Apparently there was a problem with like wild boars going on there and people having to dodge hitting them and stuff like that. So, you know, that would actually be a good business to have of killing boars or trapping boars from, you know, farms and anything like that. So it's not a bad idea. I don't know if it's just that Hank doesn't trust the guys to pull it off properly or what, but he doesn't like the idea of the business.
I love when they go to the banker and he decides to join in and they're him and him and Peggy and is it Boomhauer as well? They're all shaking hands. And then Peggy's like, there's room for one more hand in here.
But Hank doesn't want to join.
No. And I mean, it's a banker's job to invest or like to hear business pitches and, you know, they would know, is this a risk worth taking or not? So it makes sense. So, I mean, do you think, is it part of Hank's pride that he didn't jump in at the beginning? Like when it was just him and Peggy, you think, or do you think he actually thinks this is a bad idea?
I don't think it's his pride. I think he thinks it's a bad idea on multiple levels. One, I think he's very risk averse. I don't think he likes the idea of investing into businesses. He would rather invest into something established and safe. And I also don't think he really, like, I know he likes the guys. He trusts the guys and everything. I don't think he trusts them to successfully run a business. And so that's why he thinks it's a bad idea. Like, they're going to lose all the money.
That's true. I mean, the only person who's invested at that point is just Peggy.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. I really love when Peggy's idea keeps moving forward or when she's on a roll and kind of the underdogness of it. So I really enjoy when Peggy is having a good time.
Yeah, I agree. In the kitchen, they are having a business meeting. The business is called Boar No More. When Hank walks into the kitchen, he sees that everybody's there on a meeting and all of a sudden he sees that there is another lady there in you know, kind of a pantsuit type situation. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm the community development manager. I found two farms to be customers. And Bill is the head of field development, which really just means he goes out and shoots pigs. Bill is salaried, but he has deferred compensation, which essentially means he's an intern. And then over Zoom, there is their account manager or the account executive, Connor Felice, who is telling Hank that he has to leave because the meeting is for investors only. And Hank's like, you know, this is my kitchen. He's like, I don't know how to kick someone's ass over Zoom, but I'm going to do it. They don't want Hank in the meeting, and they want Hank to invest, but Hank does not want to do that. Dale's talking about how he gets stock options, and Hank's like, do you even know how those work? And Dale's like, do you? And he's like, well, no, but I know they don't work the way you think they work. And Hank leaves the kitchen, but then he closes the laptop on his way out. So I guess that was, quote unquote, his kicking their ass. So, yeah, it's like this thing is moving kind of fast. Like, it's like, what, one day and they already have an account executive and this community developer. I mean, granted, glad they have two customers, those farms, but this is where it's starting to, like, hit home a little bit for me, if you will. Because in the Bay Area, you know, every other person you're going to run into is either a founder or they're working for a startup or something like that. And you just hear all these startup and founder buzzwords like day in and day out. And then you'll have these people with BS titles like head of storytelling or head of creative development or whatnot and stuff. So it's just funny that, oh, Bill's the field development leader and stuff like that. And they talk about deferred compensation and stock options. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is giving me like creepy feelings, you know?
Oh man, that's crazy. It's just, they haven't done anything and they got all these people in. It's so much fun. I enjoy watching it. I would not want to be a part of this. It's out. Mm-hmm. I guess in all honesty, I'd be Hank on this one.
It does seem weird, and I would agree with Hank, but also here in the Bay Area, this is like super common. People talking about and getting investments without having made a product. Like, that is super common. It's not as common as it was in the dot-com boom, but it's still a common thing, especially in the AI world. I kid you not when I say I have not one, not two, but three people that I personally know who this year, 2025, started a startup, and within 6 to 7 months, each one of them made a multi-million dollar raise. I think one raised $8 million for their startup, another one raised $10 million, and stuff like that. Like, that's just how it is here. All you need to do is have, like, you know, say I'm creating an AI agent that does blah, 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 and venture capitalists will just throw money at you. And so this is kind of what all of this is reminding me of.
Oh, man. I need to make something. That's just all I'm hearing right now is, where's my idea? Oh, man. It's just, I also feel like when they're in the kitchen and the guy on the laptop is telling Hank to get out, because it's like an investors-only meeting.
Yep.
I don't know if this has happened, but in my mind, this is what happened. When Hank shuts the laptop, he's like, oh, no. He does one of those, like, oh, no, I accidentally did this.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, you know, he's like, I did that on purpose. Oh, no, I'm actually shutting this laptop down.
Yep.
Also, oh, no, it's very interesting. This, I mean, I guess they did get the pigs off of John Redcorn's land because they were eating them, right?
Yeah, at least that's the impression I got.
It's crazy to me how this has grown from, it starts just with Peggy, and then now it's the banker, and then they got this other lady, and now they got this other guy on the laptop, this other investor. So it's so cool. I don't know, it's cool and it scares me, but I'm enjoying it.
I mean, it's a funny episode, it just feels weird to me, but you know, We'll see what happens to this business. So, back at Bobby's place, Bobby and Joseph are hanging out on their balcony. Joseph's like, oh man, you slept with Connie on the first date? You're a legend. And Bobby's like, no, we both fell asleep at the symphony. And they had to kick us out. And Joseph's like, they had to kick you out for having sex. And then Bobby's like, what's wrong with you, Joseph? Are you taking your Adderall? So Joseph's just being a weird creeper, which really has kind of been his character since he hit puberty in the original season. Connie calls and, you know, they mention, oh, this first date wasn't great, but you know what? We'll try something else later. Hank appears in the house again, and apparently the guys have like night vision goggles because they have equipment sponsors. And Hank's like, how are you have equipment sponsors when you haven't killed one pig yet? Like, how are you making money? Why are people sponsoring you? And it's like, well, no, it's not about killing pigs. We just have to let people know how many pigs we plan on killing, and then they invest with us. So Hank is like, you know what? I'm going to take this to the one business person that I trust. And he goes to see none other than Buck Strickland, who I lost that bet because I was convinced that Buck Strickland was going to be dead in the revival. Like, there, he does not take care of himself. He's had, what, like 5 heart attacks, something like that in the canon. And he clearly doesn't take care of his health. But not just that, he takes a lot of risks. Like, when he goes and he gambles and people try to beat him up and stuff. So I am shocked that he is still alive. But yeah, he's still alive and he's doing kind of a stress test on a treadmill. I think it's a stress test because he has a bunch of monitors connected to him. Hank then presents the prospectus to Buck to kind of get Buck's opinion. Is this a good idea, a bad idea? And Buck keeps saying, oh, you know, it's a bad idea. I wouldn't roll the dice on this, even if I loaded it and stuff. And then Hank mentions, oh, glad I heard that from you. This is the last chance to get on the ground floor. And then that perks Buck's ear. And Buck's like, oh, well, what is the minimum investment? And Hank's like, oh, it's about what you paid me in a year. And then Buck's like, well, that's nothing, which kind of confirms something that I think everybody who's a King of the Hill fan believed, but was never confirmed, is that Buck really underpaid Hank, and Buck was well aware of it, but Hank wasn't. So Buck tells Hank to pass on the offer, and Hank's like, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, they're saying there's going to be 200% growth in 1 year, and that sounds ridiculous. And it's funny because since Buck's like connected to the heart monitor, you kind of hear whenever Hank says something interesting, the heart starts racing and whatnot. So Hank passes, but we see that Buck is on a Zoom call the next time he goes to the meeting, and Buck was able to buy the last shares. And so everybody kicks Hank out of the room because he's not an investor. So yeah, I'm shocked that Buck is still alive, but I'm also like pleased that Buck is still Buck. He wanted to get in on a business deal and he tricked Hank over it.
Okay. I also felt like I thought that Buck was dead. I don't know. Just something that, like you said, everything was pointing, signs are pointing, Buck was not going to make it through this year. But maybe the pandemic changed him. Like, maybe it helped him or whatnot. I think he was just at his house because, I mean, we see that lady again, the nurse person. So I wonder if it's just something like he pays her to help take care of him or whatnot to make sure he lives longer. I thought that this whole pig thing, when they're explaining it to Hank, I really felt like, oh, this sounds like one of those Ponzi schemes where it's like, we take the money and we say this, and then we're going to use that money to make more money or whatnot. So I was really like, oh, man. And then when Buck was interested in it, because we all knew when Buck was like, because he kept telling Hank, yeah, you go back to them and say, I'm not taking this dealers. The words were very specific, like, I'm not buying it, so that Buck could go in and buy it. So I even more felt like, oh, this is definitely shady. If Buck wants to get on the ground floor, there's definitely something going on here.
Exactly. Like, I think Buck knows that there's a lot of money to be made, and that's just how things are nowadays. Like, I was talking about Silicon Valley and the Bay Area and stuff. Like, there's so many companies that get investments of like, you know, several million dollars before they've even made a product or before they've even acquired a customer or any real customers, stuff like that. That's like not uncommon. In the dot-com era, it was way more common. And quite frankly, that's why there was an economic crash when the bubble burst. But we learned a little bit from the dot-com bubble, but we didn't learn all of our lessons. So again, it made me cringe because it reminded me so much of what it was like living here with all the people just getting like crazy valuations for their business and stuff like that. And yeah, Buck seems like to think that, oh, this will be a quick way to get rich. and make investments, because I think he kind of gets the, he gets the idea of hyping up a business, if you will. In fact, going into this, though, the next scene, Hank is driving back to the house, and apparently there's a private event taking place. A big, and, you know, publicly traded company called Pig Force Inc. bought out Boar No More. And Hank is confused. He's like, how did you sell a two-week-old company and whatnot? And I guess what they were saying is this Pig Force company was buying out all the smaller pig removal companies. And so that's how they did it. And Peggy's like, yeah, I tripled our money. And now we have shares in Pig Force Inc. And it just went up 20%. And Bill says, yeah, everybody's going to be rich. Oh, except for you, Hank. Sorry, I'm used to you being part of everything. And as they're talking, like, they have this TV screen up that shows the stock, and it's showing that the stock keeps going up and up. And Hank is still very much in that slow and steady mindset, but he's just like, it's just piling on, because now all of a sudden all these trucks pull up, and apparently the executives at Pig Force bought the founders all these brand new, like, high-end trucks. And it's funny because the person who was giving the trucks away was Nolan Ryan. And, you know, Nolan Ryan's like, oh, yeah, I bought into Pig Force, too. You would have to be a fool not to invest. And again, as they're talking, the stock's going up 2%, 5%, 10%. It's just crazy. So Peggy started to think that she's even better at investing than she ever thought she was. So Hank goes to the bathroom, and Peggy says she's going to get Nolan Ryan to sign a football for him. And while Hank's in the bathroom and he's kind of overhearing all the festivities, he pulls up his phone and decides to invest his money into Pig Force. And again, very Silicon Valley thing. There's actually a documentary that has somebody I know in it that was on Hulu, where they talked about the dot-com boom. And the person that I know was interviewed, because she's been in tech for decades now. And she was talking about how she worked for Netscape. And then the day that Netscape went public, how a lot of the founders bought, like, Lamborghinis and stuff like that. But Netscape, if you remember Netscape Navigator, it didn't really make money. Yet somehow, like, the stock just skyrocketed and these people were able to make all this money. And that's, and you still see stuff like that happen. One of the big ones here, I know a little inside baseball or whatever, but one of the big ones here in the Bay Area was, like, CoreWeave, which went public, I don't know, earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken. And all of a sudden it skyrocketed because they're, like, the AI cloud and stuff, but then it dropped, but now it's back up. And it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just funny because you're seeing this here too, where they created this company that hasn't done anything yet. And it's only, like, 2 weeks old, but then it's acquired by this larger company. And now they're all, like, making tons of money. And Hank is just feeling left out because Hank's whole belief is slow and steady wins the race. If I just, you know, if I just keep up, everything will be fine. But these guys just, in under a month, became super wealthy.
Yeah, I laugh so hard because, I mean, for our listeners, Nolan Ryan is a baseball player. So when Peggy was like, I'm going to sign a football for you, it was just, I laughed so hard for that part. And I also enjoyed, it was just really nice seeing Hank buy the shares. And you could see the little joy in his face, like, oh, I'm part of the group now in my own way. So this is very sweet.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was feeling FOMO, or he was feeling very left out at the very least with everything, and wanted to, I guess, be included. So
yeah, I also love Buck's nurse is there with him, and she's like, here's your green smoothie or your green juice. And he throws it on the ground and grabs a bottle of champagne. He just starts chugging it.
Which can't be good for his heart, but no one listens to, I mean, Buck doesn't sound like the type of person to listen to that. And he's somehow still alive.
Yes. Also, when Hank's pulling into the driveway is hilarious, because they have a valet parker there.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, like, Mr. Hill, or is Mr. Hill's here? And, like, he could park in the garage.
Yeah, and he, like, guides him in there. I mean, I'd be confused too, because Hank's like, this is my house. What's going on?
It is. And Hank's got the right question. He's like, you've only been a business for 2 weeks. You haven't done anything. suddenly this.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be confused too. Like a business that's only 2 weeks old being acquired and Peggy making triple the investment and getting all that stock, that would confuse me. I think it'd confuse pretty much anybody. So let's see what's going on with Bobby. So Bobby is on a second date with Connie and they are in like this bounce house or this, I've seen them before in the real world. They're these like trampoline houses or whatnot. Not like the, you know, those little houses somebody might put up for a kid's birthday party, but it's like a dedicated building that's like a lot of trampolines or something. So, you know, for kids. And so they decide to go there for their second date and they kind of reminisce on that time that the creepy adult sold them the beer and Bobby threw up and all that, those episodes in the past. Some random kid challenges Bobby to jump and Bobby's like, no, I'm fine. I like how Connie notices that it's a lot of kids around them. Like it's like they're probably the two oldest people there. They jump and they're having fun. Then all of a sudden, like this kid launches at them and knocks them over and like really jacks up Connie's shoulder. And so, yeah, that didn't go well. Back at Hank's place, we see that everybody is not cheering anymore. And apparently Wall Street said that there is no money in pig eradication. So all the investors pulled out of Pig Force. So essentially the Pig Force stock is worth nothing. And I like how lackadaisical Buck is about it. It's like, you win some, you lose some. And he just walks away. But then Hank kind of has that realization that he lost all his money. At the hospital, Bobby is kind of doing the check-in for Connie. So Bobby's giving the admissions nurse all the relevant information about Connie and, you know, her legal name and stuff, which is cool. And the nurse is like, oh, are you next of kin? Because he knows a lot about her. And he's like, oh, no, I'm, you know, this is actually our second date or something like that. And the nurse sends Bobby down to the cafeteria before it closes. And I like how the nurse is like, oh, for her weight, you put none of my business. And he's like, yeah, I know a trap when I see one. I like that Bobby still knows all that stuff about Connie.
Yeah, it's really nice seeing them kind of trying to reconnect. It just feels like it's not, it is this weird thing where it's like, oh man, this whole season, I wanted them to connect with each other. And now that they're kind of together, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah, it does seem a bit weird.
I guess I just like the idea. I feel like I'm Bobby. The idea is better than I feel like the actual thing is. Just I was going to say, like, the big thing. What was Wall Street just, like, listening in on that, like, right at that moment? Like, Wall Street says there's no money in pig eradication. That's like, no, they're having a great time right now. Which, I know it's a show, but it's just funny thinking, like, you're celebrating and, like, the bad news hits right then. And, of course, I'm sure Buck has so much money. Buck would have not invested in this if it was, like, gonna bankrupt him. I feel like.
Yeah. I think he has enough money to just throw at whatever.
Play money. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he hasn't got a whole bunch of play money. So, yeah, it's just, I thought it was funny. And I just feel bad for Hank. Did he invest everything into it? I remember him pushing that button a couple of times. So,
that's the impression I got is that he invested like all of his
part of it.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the episode, Peggy talks about how she is investing her half into it, which also throws Hank off. Because, like, wait, I didn't realize it was, like, my half and your half. I thought it was just our money. So, presumably, Hank took his half and invested it all into it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, Hank comes in and he, you know, confesses to Peggy that, you know, right before everything collapsed, he invested his money. And Hank's like, yeah, I lost all my money and I'm sorry. Like all of that money that we worked to make and save and whatnot is gone. But then Peggy's like, well, we didn't lose all the money because I sold my shares right before the crash. And Peggy was like, well, I realized when Pig Four spot us that I just kept hearing in my head your voice saying, you know, things are moving too fast. This is too risky and stuff. So once Pig Four bought us, I sold out my shares. And it's funny because it kind of shows that Hank was right up in the end kind of thing and Peggy did the right thing. So now they didn't lose all their money. So that's good. And then Hank's like, okay, well, I'm going to go now because, you know, we still have those two customers. And even if the business is gone, you know, I believe in customer service. So I'm going to go ahead and help them out, which is nice. And I'm glad Peggy was able to sell her shares and I guess keep them safe. In fact, they're doing a little better than they were, because if she took her half, yes, I'm doing bad math here. If she took her half and it was tripled, now they technically have more money than they did when they started.
Yeah, I love this. I like this whole story. I mean, I have thoughts on the episode as a whole, but like this little part, I enjoy that it's a Peggy forward story where mm-hmm. Peggy comes out on top. Because most of the time she sinks with that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever kind of crazy scheme she's gotten herself into, she goes all the way down with that ship. But this time she pulled at such a great moment where they come out on top. I also love that fact when she says, like, I heard your voice saying that this is, like, growing too fast. This is a risk. And I also heard you saying that you still have to pay the insurance on those trucks. And then Hank's like, that's not how my voice sounds.
Yeah, because he does an actual impression of Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad that it seems like it worked out, because it also was kind of concerning that this is the last episode of the season. And it would be like, oh, both Hank and Peggy lost all of their money on the last episode. So is season 15 going to be them coming out of retirement because they're broke and they need to remake all their money? But no, it looks like it's a typical sitcom thing where everything wraps up in this, and the end of the episode and everything's fine.
It would have been fun if they were millionaires now. You know, like, we're billionaires or something like that. And now they, like, we'll buy one of those McMansions that we hated back in the day.
Yeah, what's funny is even if they were millionaires, they would still live like super mundane lives. Yeah.
The same. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the Bobby story. So Bobby's in the hospital cafeteria and he's getting a bunch of like kids' food, like pudding cups and stuff. And it's funny because the woman who's working the cashier is like, oh, yeah, are you buying this for your little brother or little sister? He's like, oh, no, I'm buying this for my girlfriend. And then as Bobby's checking out, he kind of has this realization that, like, you know, I only know 12-year-old Connie, not 21-year-old Connie. And the cashier's like, I think there's a connection problem. And then Bobby's thinking to himself, yeah, I'm concerned there is a connection problem, because maybe I'm trying to connect to this old version of Connie that doesn't exist anymore. And the cashier's like, no, I mean, I think with the credit card, try wiping the strip with your shirt and swipe it again. So Bobby comes back to Connie's room and Connie's clearly on like morphine or some kind of painkiller because she's loopy. Bobby thinks that because they're trying to recreate their kid experiences, that's why the dates aren't really working out. And Connie is upset because Connie thinks Bobby's trying to break up with him, but Bobby's like, no, I'm not trying to break up with you. I'm just worried that, you know, Connie likes the old 12-year-old Bobby, not the current Bobby. But Connie's like, oh, I like you for you, and I like that you are so sure of yourself and so sure of things. And things wrap up well with them. Like, they still want to continue dating. And I think Bobby came to the realization that I need to get to know you now, Connie. And I think Connie needs to get to know now Bobby and not rely on what we remember each other being when we were kids. This also kind of indicates that they're 12, 13 or whatever is when they moved away or whatever, because, or something like that happened, because it kind of insinuates that they have been out of contact since at least 12, 13 years old. So, Connie's like, okay, cool, that sounds good. I want you to get into bed with me and do some weird stuff. And Bobby's like, let's just talk. And they talk, and Connie eats the pudding and because she likes that. And they, oh, what were you studying all last night? Ah, I was studying quantum dot emitters. They're doing some crazy stuff over in South Korea. And Bobby's like, oh, speaking of South Korea, I'm making some dishes with kimchi and samgyeopsal. And it's like, let's go to South Korea. And it's a date. So it ends nice. It ends nice. It's a nice way to wrap up Bobby's story for the season. What we could probably see for season 15 is that he and Connie are now going to explore their relationship with the relationship together as adults. And, you know, even though Bobby was worried that, yeah, the Connie I know and the Connie that exists now are two different things, they figured a way to work through it. I think they're both still willing to, you know, figure each other out through dating.
Yeah, it is I'm glad that they've decided to kind of get to know each other. It is interesting, though, like, thinking about the age. Well, because neither of their families moved, right?
Yeah, they moved to Saudi Arabia.
But did they take Bobby with them?
They must have. There's no way they let Bobby live by himself as a kid. I think what I've read is that when Bobby turned 18 or 19, he moved back to Texas ahead of Peggy and Hank. So Bobby's been back in Texas for presumably 2 years, possibly 3 years now.
Okay. I don't know. It's just confusing. It is weird, though, that I don't know. It's weird they would lose so much in, that they wouldn't stay in touch. But it feels like Bobby and Joseph never missed a beat, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
My guess, because, yeah, they didn't do a lot of explanation of it in this season of, you know, what happened to Bobby, what happened to Connie. Like, we get tidbits on it. Like, clearly, because they're roommates, Joseph and Bobby maintain contact through all of this. But it's like, okay, why did Bobby lose contact with Connie? Like, clearly, the Supernewson phones didn't leave the neighborhood. We see that they're in the same house in that one episode. So, yeah, it's like, what happened? And they didn't really dive into it, but maybe in season 15, they'll do a little bit more.
I think it's interesting. That's the only question I really had for that part. I am glad, though, they're going to kind of go backwards a little bit to see what each other are like.
Yep. Now to wrap up the episode and, I guess, the Hank story. We see that Hank has a net and he's catching some of the hogs, but then he realizes that like too many hogs are coming up. So he's kind of like, wait, this is way too easy. And we see the guys are all in those new trucks that they got. They're using them to chase the hogs into the net for Hank. And then Hank jumps up into one of the trucks because he's like, hey, we still have one more job to do. So they all presumably head to that farm to capture those hogs. And then we see John Redcorn doing a pitch meeting to the Hills. Pitching is John Redcorn's Red Corn. And the Hill Family Inc. decided that they will invest. And they're like, yeah, I definitely want to get in bed with you or something like that. So it was like one of those punts or something. But then I think he was like, I can't remember the exact word. It was either that or like, I want to get in your pocket or something like that. But then Hank's like, no, just in the sense of business. And that's it. And the episode ends, and then there's a nice little picture honoring the memory of Jonathan Joss. So, like, I have mixed feelings on the episode, and I think I mentioned as much earlier. It was weird to me because, one, it didn't feel like a King of the Hill episode. Like, the subject matter was kind of weird. And then also the Silicon Valley angle and whatnot, just as somebody who lives in San Francisco Bay Area. But I guess if I take myself out of that, then yes, it was a really good episode.
Okay, here are my thoughts on this episode. And it's not good for a finale episode or a season finale. It just doesn't, with me not knowing if we're going to get another season or not, for sure. I feel like I thought we said we were, but I'm not for sure now. Maybe it's just the idea was out there. It just feels like, is this the last King of the Hill episode? You know, it feels like a great middle episode, a great end of season kind of thing, a little break. If this was a full season back in the day where it was like 24 episodes, 20 something episodes, this would be a great Christmas time break where, you know, when the show takes a break for the winter holiday, basically. This would have been a great that. But overall, it was a good episode. I just feel like, yeah, it's a weird to end it.
I agree. So the Hank and Peggy story, I'll definitely agree with that. Like, that was a weird way to end things there. The Bobby story, though, I think that makes sense for an ending for the season because it pretty much sets up him and Connie becoming romantic partners and, like, where that relationship is going to go moving forward.
Yeah, it does give us a good kind of jumping off point for another season or a spinoff. Yeah, overall, it's a good episode. I will say it's maybe one of the weaker ones of this season. Not as bad as the first one. I do not like that first episode at all. So it's not that bad, but it's not at the top. And I'm sure we'll go through like our favorite episode of the season next time.
Yep.
But for me, it's just kind of weird. I don't know what I would have placed. Like, if I would have moved the episodes around, which one I would have moved over here.
Yeah.
But it just feels a weird spot for the the end of the season. It just doesn't feel like a season ender.
Agreed.
For me. It's because, like, don't you want something more grand for a season finale?
I mean.
And it just kind of feels like.
Yeah, I agree. It does feel weird, but not every. Well, I'm trying to think of all the season finales for King of the Hill because not all of them were like big or grandiose, but then many of them were. Because you have like Returning Japanese 1 and 2, which was one of the season finales. You had the Megalomart Exploding, which was a season, if I'm not mistaken, it was a season finale. And then the next season, it was the opener.
Yeah.
You had the same thing with Peggy and the parachute not opening. So, yeah, I guess so.
It just feels like a middle episode to me. And I feel like it needed a little more heft to it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't disagree. I think you're right.
But, like, not a bad... Like, I'm not saying this is a horrible episode. So, it just doesn't feel like... It feels in the placement of the season. It doesn't feel like it should be placed here.
I agree. I don't know of the 10 episodes, and maybe we could talk about that. Because after this, we're going to have an episode where we kind of recap everything. So the next, not this episode, obviously, but the following episode. Where, you know, maybe I'll give some thoughts on that. Like if I were to reorganize things, which episode of the 10 that we got would make sense as the season finale? I guess I should say the 9 that we got, because that first episode can only be a first episode.
Yeah.
Of the remaining 9, which made sense. Off the top of my head, I'd say the beer story, but, you know, I'll give it more thought later.
I mean, if I to pick right now, I would say the one where they visit Bobby's restaurant and then Hank tries the food.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one, too.
But the thing is, like, the Bobby Connie storyline is really good for a finale, mm-hmm. like for a season finale. It's just the Hank story, which I love that story, too. It sucks because I like that story. I just don't think it fits here. But the Bobby and Connie story really fits here. It just, I mean, at the end of the day, if we do get another season, this doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because then this is a good jumping off point for the next season. It just, for me, it felt lackluster for the end. For us not be able to get more King of the Hill for at least another year, maybe more, knowing how slow stuff gets made now.
So I'm hoping that we get one next year, but who knows? Like, it could very well be 2 years or so, which, I don't know, it seems dumb to me. Like, there is no reason that they shouldn't be able to release a new season every year. I mean, with less technology, they were able to do that in the past. So I don't know why they couldn't do it now, but I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, overall, I mean, it was a fine episode. I think the Bobby arc was definitely better than the Hank arc of this episode. I would agree with you on that one. Just the Hank arc just... It just didn't feel like a King of the Hill episode, but, you know, it was fine. But yeah, I mean, that's all I have on this one. How about you?
Yeah, I think those wrap up my opinion. And next time we'll talk about the whole thing.
Yep.
I have more opinions, but I think it's enlarged the whole season.
Yeah, that's kind of what my thought is, too. I have a lot of opinions toward the whole season, but that's what we'll talk about next time. So till then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.